doing that with somebody, like, you're not, you don't see them, you don't feel them. Like, it's just, there's no depth. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like, my partner and I, we don't really text. Like, we may be like, okay, I'm going to be home this time. Okay, I'm going to be, you know, it's like, it's just, like, logistics. Mm-hmm.
I really like that, because I've noticed my own switch from, say, me, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I was the person that wanted to text you all day, every day. And I think it's, like, an attachment thing. And
it is.
Okay, so, and then in my own kind of, like, healing journey, I'm at a place now where, like, I'm kind of the same. Like, I don't want to talk to you all day, every day. I, like, message me, hey, do you want to get together, like, Wednesday? Okay, let's get together Wednesday, and I will see you on Wednesday. Yeah. And then when you're in person with that person, now you can talk about your week. You can talk about your bad days. You can talk, you have so much more to communicate about, as opposed to talking all day, every day.
Hi, I'm Casey.
Hey, it's Chelsea.
Thanks for tuning in to Sex and Medicine, the podcast.
This is where we have raw, open, honest conversations about our real life experiences, lessons, and fuck-ups.
Nothing is left off the table. We discuss topics on spirituality, sexuality, medicine, and everything in between.
Let's roll.
So I am really excited about this topic, Casey. I am really excited because there's so much, I think, that people are not talking about dating, and just, you know, the fucking weirdness that's happening right now. And yeah, and, like, especially, like, for me, like, I've been in a relationship now for just about close to 11 years. Actually, we technically don't have an anniversary, so I don't know. I just know it's a long time. We're in double digits. That's all I know. And I'm not in the dating world. However, like, our relationship dynamics, you know, it's not, like, traditional monogamous where we're not allowed to look at people. Like, there is this really open communication and freedom in it. So I kind of understand the energetics of it, but I'm not actively participating in the roles. So I'm really excited to have this conversation with you because you're doing the thing.
Yeah, like, dating right now is since COVID, right? Since COVID, like, things got weird, and it's so difficult to navigate because there's so many different, like, factions and groups going on right now, right? Like, when COVID happened, we saw the split between, like, vaccinated and unvaccinated. And now we've got this big split between liberal, conservative, and you've got the revival of, like, dogmatic religion versus, like, I'm ascending to the fifth dimension. And we've got all of these, like, little groups of people and everything. Everyone's, like, splitting off in their own kind of direction. And it's just, like, in being in the dating world, it's just fucking weird. Like, it's so hard to navigate it.
Okay, yeah, I want to go there with you. What specifically makes it so hard?
I think for me, finding someone whose values line up with yours.
Okay.
Or even if they don't line up, an openness to seeing someone else's perspective.
Mm, yeah.
And then also throughout the past couple years, like, and really getting to know myself better, and seeing, I guess, having a specific view of what you want kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then people, like, come into your field and you're just like, nope, nope, not that. And, like, you get a more specific view of what you want, which does make dating more difficult because it just cuts out a lot of the bullshit, I guess, that comes with it. But you still have to, like, entertain the different people that come into your life because you don't know someone until you kind of, like, get to know them a little bit, right? And it's just, like, yeah, it's really hard to navigate. And it's also hard to meet people because we've got, typically people meet online now, right? It's a lot of, like, online dating. You got Tinder, you got Bumble, you got whatever other, like, dating apps are out there. And I find it's a lot of, like, swimming through, like, the swamp to, like, find the good one in the swamp kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Bunch of swamp monsters
wading through the trash. And I'm not like trying to be an asshole when I say that, because I'm sure that somebody like comes across me and they're like, nah, like not into her too, right? So yeah. It's like you, it's just trying to find someone that really aligns with you, and it's not easy right now.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, if you're looking, especially when I feel like when you are so attuned to your heart, mm-hmm. You know, you're more connected with your truth, your authenticity, your like what you where you want to go in your life. It is so, it can be very specific, mm-hmm. right? And by definition, unique. Mm-hmm. And when you're going into a relationship with someone, you know, you are looking for someone that kind of weaves with that little snowflake. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and there, like, it makes me think of like the saying of like, you got to kiss a whole bunch of frogs to find your prince or whatever. Right? Yeah,
totally.
So, I mean, yeah, I could see it as being a lot, especially with like, I can't even think of a better word, the pandemic, like, you know, especially with the pandemic where a lot of people were forced to, you know, see themselves mm-hmm. because, you know, the outside world, you know, we were cut off from the outside world, forced to slow down, forced to really stop performing and doing in a lot of respects, or maybe performing more depending on where you were working, right? Like when I, at that time, I was working as a software developer in a corporate place that actually we ended up having to produce more, like, and was for insurance. So like we end up having to work even harder and like doing something you didn't want to do and having to do that. Fuck, that was hard for me. So anyways, yeah, depending on where you were, like it changed a lot. And for a lot of people, I think that that was their first waking up experience.
Yeah.
And in my relationship to waking up or just, you know, just becoming more spiritual or whatever, it is this like eye-opening thing of like, okay, I'm actually discovering who I am. Mm-hmm. And this could either catapult someone into the direction of this is who I want to be in the world, mm-hmm. or like catapult someone in the direction, oh, I want to forget and like let go of all the identities that I had. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of people, especially when it was put into our face so badly, not badly, but like so aggressively, mm-hmm. where we had to choose a certain value system and be vocal about it.
Yes.
Was a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. It was, I would agree with you when you said like it was a big like waking up, because it was for me as well. And like, I feel like the pandemic really helped me solidify what my own values were.
Exactly.
Because yeah. you had to, right? And everyone's screaming at you, you have to choose this, you have to choose that. And you're like, whoa, okay, like, what do I believe? I can look at the information from both sides. What do I think? And then you find your way through that. And then, like you said, having to voice that was also really hard. And facing that fear of like backlash or facing the fear of like attack coming back at you, it really strengthened like I said, my own values and the things that I stand for in life. And then you come out of that, and some people also went in that direction. Other people kind of separated, right? There was like that big divide that happened with the pandemic. And then like circling back to getting that in the dating world, yeah. then find someone that kind of like thinks the same as you or holds those same values. And also it's important to me to have someone that holds their values so strongly and like believes in, you know, morals and stuff like that so strongly that they won't back down from it.
Yeah.
That's a big deal for me to have, like, that was during the pandemic. That was a hill I was willing to die on. You know what I mean? Like, I would not let anyone back me into a corner. And I want to know that like the person I'm with in the dating world is also going to die on the hill with me. You know what
I mean? Well, yeah. Like it's especially in a relationship, you know, you want to know someone has conviction. Mm-hmm. Conviction, if you're put in between a rock and a hard place, or, you know, like you just want to know you have someone that's going to stand by you.
Exactly.
Especially when it's something controversial and, you know, if you both believe in it, mm-hmm. and then push comes to shove that you need to step out into the world and voice that, yeah. you want to know that person, you know, like, oh yeah, this is me, then they show up and they're like, no, that's just her. Yeah. Like, how lonely and depressing
yeah.
is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, I totally see that. And it's, I agree with you too, when you were saying how there's like these different, almost like tribes mm-hmm. that are surfacing on the other side of this pandemic blow up, because yeah, like we're kind of saying, it is forcing people to identify and kind of step boldly into these value systems, these new, like these literally, like a lot of them are new, like having to choose to be vaccinated or not, like that. It was kind of like always, I do remember like when I was younger, having to get like a booster shot or something mm-hmm. like that, right? Like I do remember things like that kind of going around. And I also remember hearing about like more of like the woo-woo hippie people that wouldn't get their kids booster shots.
The
I remember
anti-vaxxers.
Yeah, yeah. And this was like 20 years ago or something yeah. like that. I remember hearing whispers about it. And like I was a kid, so it wasn't much of a thing. And like, you know, we didn't really discuss it. Like mm-hmm. it wasn't a big political movement back then. Yeah. It was just happening. Yeah, right?
It was like a little bit of a fringe group, people on the outside who you know, maybe were like the hippie types that didn't get their shots, or they didn't, you know, do the pharmaceuticals or whatever. Yeah. It was there, but it wasn't so prominent and in your face like it has been the past
yeah.
few years.
Yeah, and then I also remember when I was living in Vancouver, BC, what was it called? H1N1? That one was really big. Swine flu. That was really big mm-hmm. at one point. And like, I do remember all of us having to like get it. And that was also really scary. Mm-hmm. Like there was a bit of a scare. And at that point I wasn't, you know, so rooted in my sense of self and like all these other things. So I do remember going to get it, but at that point in time, it seemed like the best thing to mm-hmm. do. But again, it wasn't so political. Like you still had some form of like, you know, you can choose to share that information or not, or not do it, right? So it's fascinating because now that it's been so in our faces in a political standing point that people are forced now to share that information, and it's not okay. Like for me, like the forcing was there, but I still chose to live my life. Mm-hmm. But it's become such a vocal, I'm trying to think of like the right way, like it's in your face, like it's yeah. just so in your face
yeah.
and people want to know.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, wait, like, because now we're like kind of put against each other
yeah.
with this decision to either do it or not do it, mm-hmm. you know? And like, do you agree with me or do you not agree with me? Like, yeah. it's just so in our face.
Everyone wants you to choose a side. You have to choose.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to know that you're choosing their side. Because if you're not, then like,
I'm against you.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like they want to put you into a box to know if you're going to stand by them or not. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of like what you're saying. You want to know someone's going to stand behind you. Like, that is such a normal thing to feel like, you know, someone's got your back, mm-hmm. but it has become like such this deep in our face form of separation. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how it goes into the dating world, because it's like, you want to know,
like, are you vaccinated?
Are you not?
Yeah. Which side of the fence? Like, is your blood polluted? Like, I've literally gone on like dates where it's like, I mean, the question is of course there, but I want to know your thoughts on the whole situation.
Yeah.
Like what quote unquote side did you stand on? Right. What's your opinion? Did you get the shot or not? But like, I also don't want to bring it up and be like, so you sit down. So did you get it? Like, you don't want to like shoot at them just like that. But yeah, it's an uncomfortable conversation to have. And the thing is, you can have, There's so many people out there that aren't aggressively like, it's you versus me kind of thing. Like, we can have a conversation. You know what? I got it for XYZ reasons. Okay, well, I didn't get it for XYZ reasons. And like, you know, it's okay for everyone to make their own decisions. But it does make the whole like aspect of dating and like wanting to get into a serious relationship with someone a little bit more difficult, because again, it comes back to like your values, and that's just kind of my thought process on it and like how I feel about it when I am like being in the dating world.
Yeah, no, I do agree with, you know, dating and going into a relationship, how shared values I actually hate using this word of compatibility. I feel like it's so fucking cliche, but just for people to understand, you know, if you don't have shared values, then you're not compatible. Mm-hmm. Like, it's as simple as that. So, yeah, like, I also hate this, where the fact that we have to use vaccinations as a value system.
Right.
But that's just how political it's gotten.
Yeah.
So that is just fucking weird.
Yeah, it is weird. It's so weird.
It is so weird. And but because of this, like, big uprooting and, like, in your face of how political this specific value has now gotten, I think it has forced a lot of people to, you know, be more aware of their value systems.
Yeah.
So I do see that as a really big value. Mm-hmm. And I've also find it fascinating and just kind of fucking hilarious how it's allowed other values to be so prominent, which, you know, we're kind of speaking to these new tribes that are kind of, you
showing
know,
up.
Yeah. And it's because values, in my opinion, it's because we're now letting our values be more seen. We're able to, like, oh, like, okay, you agree with this value system. Let me be, you know, more in your circle. Oh, you know, so it's like, it's literally creating more like subsects of more tribes.
Yeah.
So, like, I know, like, another one that you and I just are quite amused by is more like the dogmatic side of, like, these religious tribes.
Mm-hmm. Like the revival of like dogmatic religion that we're seeing go on right now. And I think people are like, of course, people are searching for something, right? We're in, like, very chaotic times.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, we're seeing this big revival of like, dogmatic religion and, yes. and the Bible and all of that. And it's fascinating to watch. And then on the other side of that, you've got, like, we've talked about this a little bit before. You've got your, like, uber spiritual, divine union, like, twin flame side things are going on. And it's very... Yeah, it's just very fascinating to see how it all plays out and watch, like, the splitting of the tribes going on.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun. It's fun. I don't know a better word for it, but it's interesting because when you zoom out of it, that's when you start to see, like, oh, well, that revival thing is happening over here. Well, divine union is happening over here, and, like, just all of these, like, little subsects or subsequents and subsequents. That's what we're using.
Subsects
that are surfacing. And then, yeah, in the dating world, it's like, how do you bring that up?
Yeah.
Do you bring that up? Or do you just, like, quietly observe?
So typically, like, when I go on dates, the conversation usually does come up, right? It'll come up in some way because... It's hard to almost...
First, like, of all, hold on, before we go into that, like, so you mentioned, like, Bumble and, like, Tinder. So are these, like, the more, like, apps that you're finding these people that you're...
Yeah, those are the ones that I have used only because, like, I don't really know any other ones.
Okay.
So if, like, they're kind of the go-to.
Oh, so right? I do know one.
Okay.
It's called Meet Mindful.
Oh.
It might be.
Okay, maybe I'll try it.
Try it out.
I need to get an affiliate link.
Just kidding.
Coming 5 episodes from now, we'll talk about my dating experience.
Yes. Oh my god, updates.
All right. So yeah, like, those are the only ones that I'm really aware of. Okay. I'm sure there's, like, tons of other, like, websites. Yeah. I know there's, like, Christian Mingle and Plenty of Fish,
right.
and all of those too.
POF.
Yeah.
That's like a, like, legacy one.
Yeah. So I find it usually does come up in conversation almost because it's hard to meet someone new and not have it come up in a conversation,
oh.
right? Because it was so prominent.
Yeah.
And a big part of my life was the losing of my job through that. So when people ask me, like, you know, how did you get into what you got into?
Right,
and it just, it comes up for me.
Pretty organic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, whole spiel. You're like, okay, here we go.
Here we go. Get my script out. and then from there, you can kind of, like, feel out where you're at. And then, of course, like, politics will come into it. So then, you know, you get into the whole, like, liberal, conservative, like, how much do we hate Trudeau? Are we on the same page? don't mind me.
Almost spat out my water.
And then, yeah, it kind of, you can kind of gauge where you're at from that point.
That's funny. What what I love about this is I actually have something that I'm creating. It's called the levels of intimacy. And that's kind of like the warm up into actually getting to like the as deeply intimate as you possibly can. And it kind of just starts off like, you know, if you're strangers and, you know, you're just saying pleasantries like, oh, how are you? Oh, I'm good. You know, it's like it's very like
surface level.
Exactly. And then the next level is like when you're as you're, you know, kind of build some kind of safety with mm-hmm. this person, like how open can I be mm-hmm. essentially? And the next one is kind of more political stance because you can always change your mind mm-hmm. when you hear, if you want to, I'm not saying you will, but like it's safer, like there's less risk. Mm-hmm. So you're sharing like politics or like sports, like that's something a lot of men do. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, did you watch the Chicago Bulls game? Something so like, you know, and then, yeah, as you get like build more like safety and resonance with that person, you start to go deeper and deeper.
Yeah. One thing I want to bring up too is in relation to the tribes or the factions yeah. or whatever is someone, there's a lot of people who are right now are very much about like growth and mm-hmm. personal development. Right. And then there's the other side that aren't. So that's also like something to navigate too as someone yeah. who yeah. is like so dedicated to like my personal growth.
Yeah.
I have found in my past long-term relationships that typically what happens is like one person continues to grow mm-hmm. and the other one just like stays the same. And like I think that's a kind of a disconnect in dating right now too, because spirituality, personal development, like inner work is becoming more and more prominent. So again, we're seeing that split too, which is another tribe that we've got going on.
Yeah, so you're talking about people that are doing personal development versus not. So there's like a split there. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. That yeah. is a huge disconnect. Yeah. And that's kind of what I was alluding to, like this whole pandemic thing forced people either to, you know, lock in and like look at themselves mm-hmm. or just like go off into the ethers. Some form of like addiction or escapism yeah. or... yeah, just fear to really go there with themselves. Mm-hmm. So for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I find fascinating about that though, and this is actually a bit of a kind of like a core, not a core, but like a piece of the work that I do, is when you're actually in a relationship and you're actively working on yourself, because of the law of entrainment, they do actually get lift up with you. Mm-hmm. However, there has to be the willingness for it.
Yes.
So that, I think that is like a big, that's kind of a segue what we're talking about, but felt called to share of it. So like if you're someone that's like committed to your growth and like making change or, you know, just creating something, right? And you're with someone that isn't so committed to that or just isn't doing that or like whatever, they're just not in that space. You know, mm-hmm. there's no shame or right or wrong way, right? It's just the way they're choosing to live. But obviously when you're like that, you do want someone to elevate with you, mm-hmm. rightfully so. It's fucking beautiful when you're doing that with someone with shared value systems and like aspirations and like vision. Mm-hmm. But because of the law of entrainment, they energetically do reap off of the things that you work on. And so they do kind of elevate. So it kind of works. People won't see this on the recording, but if you watch the video, the YouTube version, when you're elevating, they're kind of with you. Like they are kind of going with you. However, it is fucking slow. Right? Because they're not intentionally doing it, but they do kind of reap the energetic benefits, if you will. And there is that layer of like free will, right? There is mm-hmm. the free will of like, okay, if they're just not willing to go there because maybe they're just afraid or it's just not their lifetime, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Or they're just not your person.
Yeah.
All of it. That could be all of it in the same breath. Or they are willing and they're just fucking terrified. And so there is still like that willingness.
Yeah.
And they will go with you, but it's like, it yeah. And another layer is like, because you end up being the shining light that you are, you inspire the fuck out of people. That's been my experience. Like, I'm so thankful for the person that I'm with because if anyone knows me online or knows me personally, they know that I'm like, this is my life. You know, I'm going all in. I'm convicted. I'm doing the thing. I'm going for it, right? What's that thing you always say?
Fuck it, we ball.
Yeah. that's the mentality, right? And he's all for it, mm-hmm. but it's like he's not actively, you know, like buying all these self-help books like I am, and like mm-hmm. you know, like teaching, you know, yeah. and those things. He's just like, okay, I'm willing and I'm mm-hmm. devoted and, you know, I'm here with you, kind of thing. So it's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't always like that. It was because of who I am, and I know this, and I say this without being self-centered or narcissistic or any of those other toxic things I could say about myself. It's literally because I know I've inspired that in him. Mm-hmm. And inspire that with just the people around me. And like, I, you know, you hear it all, I'm sure you hear it online too. You hear people reach out to you and be like, oh, wow, you know, you said this and like, mm-hmm. that made me really think, or mm-hmm. like, you know, just same idea. Like that happens all the time. There's that analogy of like, you're like a candle in a cave, and your one candle will light one and mm-hmm. until the whole room is lit up.
Yeah. I think it's really like beautiful what you shared about how even if your partner isn't into like the self-development space and they're not into the same things you are, that's okay.
Yeah.
As long as there's that level of like, they are allowing you to flourish and allowing you to be who you are and grow into the person that you are. A little bit of my hesitation comes into the dating world based on my past relationships, because I had like kind of like the opposite, where it's like, I'm trying to grow and I'm trying to change and be different. And it's like, they either aren't, or there's like the fear there. And then you start to feel stifled, yeah. or you start to feel suffocated,
exactly.
or you start to feel like they're kind of like, no, like they want you to stay the same. And you're like, I'm trying to change. And it becomes this like push pull of like, you're trying to grow and they're just not allowing you to be the person you want to be. So I think that's where a little bit of my hesitation comes into the dating world, is because I don't want to get 2 years into a relationship with someone and then find out like that's kind of what's going on, which has been my experiences in the past.
Yeah, I've definitely been there. And I find that I could go so many different segues with that with you. But just for transparency's sake, that for me in those aspects, like it's just like conflict, right? It is an invitation for deeper intimacy. Mm. And I feel that in those situations, it's either, you know, again, there's still, if that person has the willingness to just go there with you, and it doesn't have to mean like, oh yeah, let's both do self-development. Mm-hmm. It could literally just be like, okay, I'm here with you. This is the truth in my heart. What's the truth in your heart? You never know where that's going to go, mm-hmm. like ever. And I think that is like the beauty of what relationships have. Mm-hmm. Without going deeper into that, because I want to stay on the dating thread.
I just feel like I got like a therapy lesson, because I just had something like pop into my head and I was like, oh shit, like in my previous relationships, I never communicated that, right?
Exactly.
Okay, this is therapy with Chelsea today.
Amazing. So, I mean, if you're open, let's go there. Let's go a bit, a layer deeper.
Okay.
So in your past, you're saying that the communication wasn't there. What do you mean by that?
So I'm thinking when I started to feel like I was trying to be someone different, trying to grow a little bit, I never said that. Mm-hmm. I felt it, right? I felt that I was trying to grow, and I felt stifled by the person that I was with. Mm-hmm. But of course, I never communicated that. And that wasn't on a conscious level, right? My own issues with being able to express and like voice myself. Yeah. That's been a huge one for me. So like looking back, I'm like, of course I didn't communicate it, because at that time, I just couldn't.
Yeah.
But looking back on it now, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, not to say that the relationships could have been saved or anything, because I don't think that, but there could have been a layer of openness that just wasn't there at the time, because I started to feel stifled and I shut down and we're done, just like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. And then I've been there too. Mm-hmm. Like for sure. I've had many, destructive and just closed relationships. I've so been there. Just like any kind of pivotal moment, especially like the feeling when you kind of, what made me go there was you sharing the feeling of, what was that? What did you say? There was something specific that you said.
Feeling like suffocated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I bring that up is because it's a feeling. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean it's true, right? Obviously validate your feelings, because that's all you're doing. I don't mean to like say like, oh, fuck that, Casey.
That's not what you were feeling.
No. But it's just having the humility to admit of just like, okay, I'm feeling like, you know, this is too much, or like, I'm feeling like you're not, you know, you're not hearing me, mm-hmm. or like, I'm feeling like this is what I want to do. And for some reason you're all over me. Like, mm-hmm. this is just how I'm feeling. And I've been there, you know, like fucking a long ass relationship. It happens all the time. And I'm sure I do that to him too. Yeah. But it is always just like that deeper intubation of like, oh, okay. Like, why don't you just tell me what you're feeling? How's your heart? You know, how like, because you're there for a reason with that person. I'm sure there's some form of them that has that devotion of like wanting to go there and just like create an openness. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not even aware of what they're doing. So yeah, I find that those situations, like, okay, I'm feeling the sensation of my heart is like closing right now. I'm feeling you all over me. And just hearing what they have to say to that. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, like, you never know where that's going to go. And obviously, like, those relationships in the past. But, yeah, just using that as a learning lesson.
I think, too, like, in my case, and this might be the case for a lot of people, when you're in those situations and when you have so much trouble with, like, emotions and stuff, it might come, like, I didn't even understand what I was experiencing at the same time. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, all I knew was, I'm being suffocated, I shut down, and I'm out.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's how, for me especially, you get caught in these patterns of relationships that just kind of end like that, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, shut down, I'm out, see ya. And then, you know, it just goes on and on like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's important to be aware of that. So yeah, celebrating that awareness, mm-hmm. because not a lot of people will have, you know, oh yeah, this is a pattern now. Mm-hmm. And when you have that awareness, it'll gift you the choice if that ever does surface again, yeah, which it will until you choose differently, right? Yeah. As we know. So this is great.
Celebrating Casey and her dating life.
Oh, God. So that's great. So yeah, like in your dates now, it's kind of like a little like, I want to know what's happening. I want to be a fly on the wall. Well, I don't know if you're getting a drink, like you're drinking a beer or a tea, or like where are you going first of all for a date? What's a normal date spot?
Like Earl's is a good one.
Oh, that's nice.
There's
who's paying?
He is.
Okay.
Yeah. There's Earl's. There's like the Oyster one downtown. Peasant Cookery. I've been there. Okay. That's a good one.
Okay. This is all spots in Winnipeg for anyone.
That's but yeah, typically like a date is like you go for dinner, you go for a drink, and just see how it goes.
Okay. Okay. So it's dinner though. So we're being official. Okay, good. That's cool. So I'm curious then, because obviously like there's the ideas of like the pandemic and like, okay, are you vaccinated? Are you not vaccinated? Like there's that separation. What other values do you feel that like come to you right away that you want to either know on the first date or maybe some deal breakers?
For me, I mean, a big one is what I do for work, right? Yeah. Cambo is a part of me and who I am. So, I mean, that always comes up too. And that's kind of like a fun conversation. I love like springing that on people because it's weird.
It's very unique.
Yeah, it's great. And so I also want to know how people feel about that. And you typically will get like one of two responses, right? It's either like, oh, okay, and then they kind of like don't ask any more questions, right? Like
that's how you know they're not cool.
That's how you know, right? They just kind of like gloss over it, and then the subject will change, or they will, oh wow, that's really interesting, like tell me more, what are the benefits, and then you kind of like segue into that. So that's a big one for me, is like what I do. What else is there that goes on?
Are you bringing up religion? Are you into the Jesus revival? Are you bringing that up?
I've actually never had the religion one come up.
Okay.
Not on like, I don't think that's like a first date.
In my opinion.
I mean, maybe it is. Yeah.
In my opinion, if I was actively on Tinder, which I've honestly never done because we've been in a relationship for so long, because I think it started to come out in our our second year, and that's at that point we just weren't looking, right? It was just us, and that's when people started using it. So I've never been on it. I've swiped for people on their phone for them just to be like part of like, oh, what is the gimmick and the novelty, right? Which is kind of like, which is kind of fucking weird, you know? Like you're literally like, judging a person by how they look, maybe you read their description. Yeah. Like, there's a bio, right? Maybe you read their bio and you're like, oh, I'm into you. Oh, I'm not into you. So to me, that is just gross.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Again, maybe I'm biased, but I'm only saying it's gross because it's like you cannot feel the like a person. You just cannot. So I mean, you end up getting tossed on a date with Chad, who's like not like
he's vaccinated. I almost like feel like you can find the energy behind someone, maybe not when you're like swiping back and forth or whatever, but when you within the first like couple messages exchange back and forth,
you can message, right?
Yeah,
right.
Like you kind of message and you can tell there's a little bit of like banter, a little bit of like sarcasm, like the
sure
like it just flows,
yeah,
versus just like, hey, how are you? Hey, how was your day? Like, and the conversation just is very like bland,
right?
So like you can kind of weed people out in that way.
Okay.
And that's what I've found myself. And then yeah, you go on a date with them and then maybe it's just like it either is good or it's you're just like, no, our banter was strictly for Tinder and like that was it.
That's fair. That's totally fair. And yeah, like for me though, on the dates, what I was going to say there is that I feel like just laying it all out on the table is like so important. Like, yes. Do you ever watch the show Love is Blind on Netflix?
Fuck yeah.
I fucking love it only for the fact that people are actually being honest.
Yeah.
Like, in their quote-unquote pods, like, people are actually being as authentic as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And I honestly believe that's how dating should be.
Yes.
Because it weeds people out immediately. Like, okay, this is what I believe in. This is what I want. This is where I'm going. Are you in? Are you out?
Yes. And it, like, saves everybody time, right? Like, I'm not wasting your time. You're not wasting my time. And this actually relates to, like, a pet peeve of mine in the dating world where it's, like, if you meet someone online and they want to talk to you every day, all day for like 3 weeks before going on a date. And I'm like, I want to see if we like click initially and then I want to go out on a date and then we can actually find out like right now if this is a thing or not. And if it's not, then that's fine and we'll both move on.
Yeah.
But I don't want to sit here and talk to you over and over and over again for like 3 weeks and then like finally go on a date.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, there's nothing there. And then like, why did we just... You know, it's like it's a waste of time, right?
It is. And I'll share a little insider scoop of my relationship with my boo. We don't really text. We don't.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because one, it's you're literally by definition, you're not present with the person. Mm. That's my riff with it. Like my grief, my pet peeve with texting. Mm-hmm. Like I will text because I have friends that are literally not in the same city as me. So that's kind of how we relate. But we're usually leaving voice notes but at the same time, it's still, you're not physically present with that person. So like I feel like presence is fucking everything. And if you're not like intentionally creating that with somebody, like you don't see them, you don't feel them. Like it's just, there's no depth.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, like my partner and I, we don't really text. Like we may be like, okay, I'm gonna be home this time. Okay, I'm gonna be, you know, it's like, it's just like logistics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I really like that because I've noticed my own switch from, say, me like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I was the person that wanted to text you all day, every day. And I think it's like an attachment thing. And
it is.
Okay, so, and then in my own kind of like healing journey, I'm at a place now where like I'm kind of the same. Like I don't want to talk to you all day, every day. I like message me, hey, do you want to get together like Wednesday? Okay, let's get together Wednesday and I will see you on Wednesday. Yeah. And then when you're in person with that person, now you can talk about your week. You can talk about your bad days. You can talk, you have so much more to communicate about. As opposed to talking all day, every day.
Yeah. And I think, like, if you think about that, if someone's texting you all day like that, what are they doing, like, in real life?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're either, you know, working or they're literally with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean they're not present with them too?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, like, they're on their phone. So, again, by definition, to me, like, presence is, like, so fucking erotic. Like, you literally cannot experience pleasure without being present. You literally cannot have an orgasm without being present. You know what I mean? Like, that is where you feel bliss. Mm-hmm. Like you just can't without your presence. Yeah. And you also cannot be intimate with someone, because if you tune into like how you feel with someone who's present versus not present, like how open does your heart feel? How open does their heart feel? Mm-hmm. To me, like I'm already disconnected with them, and I can't feel them, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's like crucial. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of add to that thread of like texting all day, oh my God. Like you can literally feel just like the, how do I describe this? You can literally feel like they're, oh, I can't think of the right words right now.
Like a neediness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Like their energetic tendrils are just kind of like
latched
on, and it creates a false sense of safety. Yeah. So like for me, for example, I do remember doing this in the past, mm-hmm. Where I would like, you know, send texts and texts and texts. And it was like me wanting to have some kind of reassurance that they're thinking of me,
yes.
and that they're not going to let me go, and they're not going to like leave me, or for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And somehow the texting, that constant feeling of some type of communication, it didn't matter what it was. Mm-hmm. It could have been a fucking emoji or a liking or whatever. I was like, oh, okay. I can, okay, that's safe. But then when it stops, like maybe they go to work all day,
yeah.
or, you know, there's an emergency in their family, so they don't connect with you for 2-3 days.
Yeah.
That is scary, mm-hmm. because that little safety umbilical cord of texting or whatever, that constant stream of connection is gone. And you're like, oh my God, what is happening?
Yeah. And then like the insecurities kick in, yes. and then the fear kicks in, and then the narratives in the mind kick in.
Yeah.
And then suddenly next thing you know, you're picking a fight with that person. Because you made up a scenario in your head.
Exactly. That is not even way real. Too common.
So like, common. I used to do that all the time. Yeah.
Same. I think that's, I do see men do it too, but not as much as women, because again, there's that diffuse awareness. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, where'd he go? You know, and the mind just goes, story. And when he finally brings his presence back, or like you connect, whether it be with text or a phone call or actually in person, it's like all of that stuff from the stories that were created, all of the like the fear and the anger and the resentment and the like, where the fuck were you? You know, like that just like gets vomited all on this person.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That is amazing. So yeah, I do believe that, you know, values are so important to get out like immediately, because it does weed people out.
Yeah.
Like it is polarizing. It's either going to like push them away or bring them in.
Mm-hmm. I think it changes with age as well.
Oh,
like
yeah.
like when I was younger, like dating was like fun. You're like, oh, I'm just going out on a date. Like there's like no big deal. No, like it was very nonchalant. And then you get older and you get more mature. And like I think you mentioned earlier, kind of more in tune with like your heart and what you want.
Yeah.
It, like I said before, it just becomes kind of like a waste of time. You're like, let's just like cut out all of the bullshit and just see where we're at. And you know what you want when you're more so when you're 29 than you do when you're 22. And it's not a fun game anymore. Like you're actually like looking for something and someone.
Yeah, I do. I think there's nuance to that. Like, yes, more generally speaking, the older you get, the more mature you are and the more like solidified in your sense of self. Yes. There are, I want to say, rare breeds or maybe old souls or like just people who've had possibly more of a stable and loving guidance system in their parents or just, you know, in their life in general. And I feel like those people do have a really beautiful grounded value system, just in my experience of feeling the contrast of the background that I have growing up in chaos and like poverty and just like a lot of non-guidance and just being around people who have had similar lifestyles, and then tasting the contrast of people that have, because of like I went to a school that, you know, I mean, from my background, and then having a school that had like people with like 4-story houses, mm-hmm. and like driving their parents' Mercedes, and I had like a hole in my clothes kind of thing, right? So feeling that contrast and like like hearing the things that they would say and just, yeah. And then also meeting my current partner who has a very different upbringing than me, who has much more, you know, has both his parents and like a really beautiful family and just like really more like solidified value systems because of that. Mm-hmm. And like he's a few years younger than me, and I had a 2.5-3-year-old kid when we got together, and he was so sure mm-hmm. of what he wanted, and like he was like 21 or 22 years old. So I just find that like fascinating, because like, yeah, age definitely plays a factor. Like there's something that happens with you know, the test of time. Mm-hmm. Like that is huge. Maturity obviously happens. Yeah. We see that everywhere. Like there's no denying that. But I do think that there are still nuances of like people's past and their experiences and how, you know, like how their experiences molded them as like a, you know, younger.
Yeah. Like an emotionally mature or like an emotionally well-balanced person, as opposed to like when you do come from like a chaotic background, being like an emotionally unbalanced person, which is what I experienced. Right. So, yeah, I definitely think there's. You know, everyone's got such a different journey.
Yeah.
Right. So it is really hard to, again, like coming back to the dating world, it's a really hard thing to navigate when we've just got so many different movements and so many different things and narratives and all of this going on at one time. It's a real shit show.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I think that's just to kind of reiterate this, because I think it is something that we're both saying, is that it's so important that if you are in the dating world, and even if you are now in a relationship, to always be clear about your value systems. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes takes time to clarify. Also something that we're saying, and just really I think those values come with like the integrity of your heart, like mm-hmm. really just like tuning in with your heart, like what actually fucking matters to you. What are you actually willing to fight for? What will you fucking die for? That is something that has really activated me. Like, what am I actually willing to die for? And that's like been the clearest, like, oh yeah, that matters. Oh yeah, that matters. Oh yeah, fuck that, I don't give a shit about that, you know. So yeah. I think it's so important, you know, in the dating world and in the relating world, that being really clear on your values, what are your non-negotiables, which, you know, knowing your values will make that really fucking clear. And yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So anyone that's dating, just get your journal out. Touch your heart.
Do some self-reflection.
Yeah. Like what are you willing to die for? That's what I believe with.
Beautiful. Love it.
Bye everybody.
That was fun. Thanks for tuning in, lovers. Remember, this podcast is for entertainment and education purposes only. Please contact your healthcare provider and local law before pursuing any of the products or medicine discussed. Final note, we make this show specifically for you. If you're loving it, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify to let us know. Happy to be here and happy to serve. We'll see you next time on Sex and Medicine.